From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appreciates press support during the pandemic. China and Indonesia ties deepen despite pandemic. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo thanked all members of the press for helping the government to educate the public to implement health protocols and help the public to get correct and accurate information. The president said in his speech at the peak of the 2021 National Press Day commemoration, virtually from the State Palace, the Presidential Palace Complex in Jakarta on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo appreciates the press that continues to work during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Rekan-rekan pers tetap bekerja.
Press colleagues continue to work and stand at the forefront of updating every situation and become a bridge of communication between the government and the society, maintaining optimism and maintaining hope.
Serta menjaga harapan.
Furthermore, the president said the government had tried to ease the burden of the media industry by reducing taxes and providing incentives. President Jokowi ensures that the government will continue to be open to input from members of the press. The president acknowledged that the role of press is very important for the development of the Indonesian nation today and the future. The theme of this year's National Press Day commemoration is Awakening from the Pandemic, the Press as an Accelerator of Change and Economic Recovery. Indonesia and China relations got closer and reached their highest level in several cooperation sectors, despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia, Xiao Qian, made the statement. The ambassador said during a press briefing in Jakarta on Tuesday that in 2020, China and Indonesia relations passed through an extraordinary year. Under the attention and promotion of their state leaders, governments, and peoples, the two states have helped and supported each other to solve common difficulties. The ambassador revealed that Indonesia and China have worked hand in hand to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. Pharmaceutical companies from the two countries conducted the third phase of clinical trials of the COVID-19 vaccine and promoted cooperation in the joint procurement, research, development, and production of vaccines. He further said that economic cooperation between the two nations also made fresh progress, with China maintaining its position as Indonesia's biggest trade partner and second largest foreign investor. The health ministry demonstrated commitment to reducing the spike in COVID-19 infection rate by collaborating with the National Police and Indonesian Defense Forces, or TNI, to conduct vaccination and contact tracing down to the grassroots level. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin stated in Cilangkap, East Jakarta on Tuesday, the objective of this fight against the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic must be clear, specifically to curb Indonesia's infection rate. The roll call was organized to reflect the preparedness of vaccinators and contact tracers that will be involved in Indonesia's national vaccination program and contact tracing efforts at the grassroots level. According to the minister, the vaccination and contact tracing programs could be conducted in all community units, neighborhood units, villages, districts, and cities in Indonesia, owing to the TNI and police's solid networks until the grassroots level. In addition to working with the TNI and police, collaborating with communities is also the key to reducing the COVID-19 infection rate. Now we go to the international news about international experts investigating the origins of COVID-19 have all but dismissed a theory that the virus came from a laboratory in China. Peter Ben Emberg, the head of the World Health Organization mission, said it was extremely unlikely that the virus leaked from a lab in the city of Wuhan. He also said more work was needed to identify the source of the virus. One expert said the investigation could now focus on Southeast Asia. The World Health Organization team is currently at the end of their investigation mission. Wuhan, in China's central Hubei province, is the first place in the world that the virus was detected in 2019. Since then, more than 106 million cases and 2.3 million deaths have been reported worldwide. Dr. Embarek told a press conference the investigation had uncovered new information but had not dramatically changed the picture of the outbreak. Experts believe the virus is likely to have originated in animals before spreading to humans, but they are not sure how. Police in Myanmar have fired rubber bullets during a demonstration in the capital Naypyidaw, as thousands defied a ban on protests. Water cannon and tear gas have also been used against protesters, and one woman is in hospital with a critical head injury. News agencies quoted doctors as saying they had seen wounds from live bullets. Protesters are standing against a military coup that removed the elected government last week. A ban on large public gatherings and nighttime curfews has been instigated in some cities, with military leader Min Aung Hlaing warning that no one is above the law. The demonstrators are demanding the release of elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi along with senior leaders of her National League for Democracy party. She was arrested when the military seized power and declared a year-long state of emergency on February 1st. A U.S. State Department official said on Tuesday that the United States will adopt a new approach on North Korea that protects the safety of its allies and Americans, stressing close cooperation and consultation. State Department spokesperson Ned Price made the remarks in a press briefing when asked if a delay in contact between the U.S. and North Korea may lead the North to conduct nuclear or missile tests to draw attention. Price said that the new Biden administration will not move too soon or alone. The spokesperson then stressed coordination with allies, saying that whether the issue is Iran or North Korea, the risk is that the U.S. doesn't bring along its allies and partners. He continued that whether it's North Korea, Iran, or any other global challenge, the U.S. wants to make sure it is on precisely the same page and to make sure its allies and partners know that the U.S. is there for them. We end the news with multiple Republican senators that are criticizing former President Donald Trump's legal defense team's performance on the first day of the impeachment trial. Senator Bill Cassidy said on Tuesday that President Trump's team was disorganized. They did everything they could but to talk about the question at hand, and when they talk about it, they kind of glided over it. almost as if they were embarrassed of their arguments. Cassidy also said the House prosecutors were focused, organized, and made a compelling argument. Cassidy was one of six Republican senators who sided with Democrats on Tuesday in a vote to declare the Trump impeachment trial constitutional with a 56-44 vote. He had previously voted 2 weeks ago to dismiss the impeachment trial that failed with a 55-45 vote. Well, listener, that was news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Myanmar has become the center of international attention again. The rejection of the Myanmar people towards the coup of civilian rule by the military has attracted the attention of various countries. Although television and news coverage at home is limited, news of the coup and demonstration of thousands of Myanmar people across the country has spread throughout the world. To reduce the spread of calls for demonstration and news about it, the military has taken steps to close access to social media. Concern over a military coup against civilian rule will be discussed at the United Nations. It was reported that on Friday, February 12, 2021, the UN Human Rights Council will meet specifically. As reported by Reuters News Agency, the UN Security Council has stated that the agenda to be discussed in the crisis in Myanmar. On Monday, February 8, 2021, Britain and European Union had requested a special session on this matter. The Asian countries that have supported the movement at the United Nations are South Korea and Japan. Meanwhile, until the beginning of the second week of February 2021, not a single Asian member country has commented on this issue. Understandably, the Asian Joint Commitment affirms that Asian members may not interfere in their respective domestic affairs. The political crisis in Myanmar also seems to be seen as a domestic problem in that country. The United States will support the proposals of the UK and the European Union because since Joe Biden became president, the United States has regained its membership in the UN Human Rights Council. Washington has also reacted to the military coup in Myanmar and stressed the possibility of sanction. Facing the international community reaction, the Myanmar military junta has so far not responded. Myanmar Senior General Min Aung Hlaing has said he will hold the election soon. It is very likely that this election will not be followed by Suu Kyi, who has been detained by the police on charges of unsubstantiated matters. Whether international pressures, minus Asian, will destabilize the military junta is still uncertain. The military coup and forced elections will certainly have implications for the life of democracy and the people of Myanmar. The country, which has just recently entered the democratic era after ended the military dictatorial regime, is now a decisive moment, going back to the totalitarian or democratic era. That was commentary.
This is Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. We begin with an event on February 10, 1943, the Battle of German and Spanish Troops in the Soviet Union. A battle which involved the German and Spanish troops against the Soviet Union broke out in Krasny Bor, near an area which is now called St. Petersburg, Russia. One of battles in the Second World War lasted in 4 days. The German and Spanish troops won the battle, which is called the Battle of Krasny Bor. Moving on to an event on February 10, 1952, the first general elections in India. On February 10, 1952, India successfully held the first general elections since it gained independence from the British colonization. The Indian National Congress, which was led by Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, won a landslide victory, making him the Indian Prime Minister for 5 years. The general elections were viewed as a test for India to become a democratic country after becoming independent from Britain. A total of 176 million people were eligible to vote, although only 15% who could read or write. Symbols were used on ballots for each party and independent candidates, so those who could not read knew where to vote. They even did not have to mark their ballots. They just needed to put them in a box marked with their favorite candidate symbols. We end Today in History with an event on February 10, 1962, about an American spy plane that was shot down in the Soviet Union. An American spy plane was shot down while flying in the Soviet Union. The pilot, Francis Gary Powers, was safe, although he was detained by the Soviet Union. After negotiations, the Soviet Union agreed to release Gary after the U.S. was also willing to release the detained Soviet Union spy. Well, listener, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Mungkin kita ditakdirkan.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is about the government forms a holding to support ultra micro business. Indonesian government plan to establish a holding in 2024 to support the ultra micro business ecosystem. The holding consists of the state-owned pawn shop PT Pegadaian and state-owned financing firm PT Permodalan Nasional Madani or PNM under the state-owned bank PT Bank Rakyat Indonesia BRI. That was stated by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani in a virtual working meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 11 in Jakarta on Monday. She said the plan had been approved by the Privatization Committee under the Coordinating Minister for Economy with support from the Financial System Stability Committee (KSSK). Sri Mulyani remarked KSSK saw no issue in forming the holding. The minister further explained that in the holding mechanism there will be a right issue from BRI. The state will take all Series B shares from Pegadaian and PNM and then give them to BRI. However, the government will still hold one Series A share in Pegadaian and PNM. Therefore, the government still has a grip on both PNM and Pegadaian, and the two firms will have a different state-owned status from BRI's subsidiary. Sri Mulyani explained that the holding will not cause any employment termination and working unit closure in PNM and Pegadaian. Instead, the benefits from the synergy will be given to the customers, for instance, in the form of loan interest decrease. The holding is then expected to ease the capital access for ultra-micro businesses, which are 98% of the total 60 million micro-small-medium enterprises in Indonesia. However, 65% from 54 million ultra-micro businesses are not yet served by the formal financial institutions. Minister Sri Mulyani remarked they have high vulnerability with low financial literacy. Therefore, a wider reach from funding firms is needed, both under the Financial Ministry and the State-owned Enterprise Ministry.
Sejak kau ada di dunia, aku tak menyangka. Tapi aku percaya, dan waktu terus berlalu, kau buat semuanya. Kulihat keajaiban
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, I'm going to invite you to visit Gigi Hiu Beach in Lampung. Lampung has various amazing natural attractions such as Lampung Elephants, a group of beautiful dolphins that often appear in Kiluan Bay. However, apart from the two attractions that you should visit if you are in Lampung, you should also try to visit a charming and exotic beach location. It is Pegadungan Beach, or often referred to as Gigi Hiu Beach or Shark Tooth Beach. This beach is quite different from other beaches that are widely spread in Indonesia. The exoticism that lies in the many clusters of rocks arranged towering like cliffs makes this beach quite unique. These rock clusters are quite high and also large, varying from 1 meter to 10 meters high. The stone arrangement seems to form teeth. It also looks like a boat sailing in the wind. When visiting this beach, the best view you can see is when the sun rises. At the time, you will see an amazing view. The sun shines on the rocks, with the waves reflecting the light from the sun. To visit this beach, it is recommended when it is dry season. Visiting in the dry season, you will see a clean and clear view. Therefore, those of you who like photography should come at the right time. During the rainy season, usually Gigi Hiu Beach will be shrouded in fog. The beautiful scenery on Gigi Hiu Beach will be obstructed by the fog. You may not find star or luxury hotels, but you can try to find lodging in local residence houses, or you can return to Kilauan Bay, which is not too far from that location, to get lodging. Located in Klumbayan District, Tanggamus Regency, Lampung, the location of Gigi Hiu Beach itself is an area that is quite far from the population and also the crowd. The location is quite remote and travel access is quite difficult. So this place is appropriate with those of you who really have a true traveling spirit. When visiting this beach, it is recommended with a group because this beach is still fairly quiet. So it would be nice if you bring the necessary equipment and stick to health protocols during the trip or when you get there. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari angan tentangnya. Namun apalah daya ini bila ternyata selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa
listener. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is ajakan or mengajak, which means invitation or invite. So stay tuned. Listen to the conversation about ajakan atau mengajak, which means invitation or invite. This conversation is between Kevin and Mela when they are planning a weekend holiday. Kevin asks Mela, his workmate, to go to the beach.
Mela, ayo kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai.
Ayo.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Ayo, ayo, which means let's go. Kita, kita, which means we. Berjalan jalan, which means take a walk. Ke pantai. Ke pantai, which means to the beach. Ayo kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai. Ayo kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai, which means let's take a walk to the beach. In the dialogue, you listen to an expression, ayo kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai. Ayo, kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai, which means let's take a walk to the beach. In Indonesian, the word ayo, ayo, which means let's go, is used to invite someone. The word ayo is placed before the dialogue topic. For example, ayo, kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai. Ayo, kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai, which means let's take a walk to the beach. Besides ayo, another expression of invitation is you, which means let's go. This interjection is used when talking with a friend. It can be placed before or after the dialogue topic. For examples, Mela, yuk kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai. Yuk, Mela, kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai yuk. Yuk. When inviting someone that you know well, Indonesians usually use the words you or ayo. However, to invite someone respected or someone that you do not know well yet, they usually use the word mari, mari, which means let's go. For example, mari kita pergi, mari kita pergi, which means let's go. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Mela, ayo kita berjalan-jalan ke pantai.
Ayo.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa!
Sebelum dia mencintai aku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Music Corner, our voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, now I would like to present a song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Flobamora. Flobamora is an abbreviation of islands from East Nusa Tenggara province, namely Flores, Sumba, Timor, and Alor. The song lyrics of Flobamora show the longing of an immigrant from Flobamora. Although he has been in another region for a long time, he still remembers his place of birth. The lyrics also mention the pride of Flobamora, such as the musical instrument Sasando and the traditional song Bolelebo. Well, listener, here is the song Flobamora by Anmesh Kamaleng.
Flobamora loba murah tanah air ku yang tercinta, tempat beta dibesarkan ibunda. Meski sudah lama jauh di rantau orang, beta ingat mama janji pulang. Biarpun tanjung teluknya jauh tapi lenusaku, tapi selalu terkenang di kalbuku. Ana timur main sasando dan bernyanyi bolelebo, rasa girang dan balendang pulang. Meski sudah lama jauh di rantau orang, beta ingat mama janji pulangi. Biarpun tanjung teluknya jauh tapi tapi selalu terkenang di kalbuku. Anak timur main sasando dan bernyanyi bolelebo, rasa girang dan balendang pulang. Tapi selalu terkenang di kalbuku. Anak timur main sasando dan bernyanyi bolelebo, rasa girang dan valendang pulang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Utung meteng dore
tebogalue pukong tebogalue Raja lelang wekinge Raja lelang wekinge Raja lelang wekinge Lelang wekinge susah date Lelang wekinge amang susah date Raja lelang wekinge Raja lelang wekinge Inang sayang budie Ina sayang budie Inang sayang budie Ina sayang budie Sayang budie apa dike sayang budi amang apa dike ina sayang budi ina sayang budi
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.